Inside the Birds is back. What's going on, everybody? It's Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan. Are you guys stuffed like we are? At least I'm stuffed. Adam, I don't know what your Thanksgiving was like, but I ate a lot and I am stuffed, but I'm ready to talk some football, some Eagles, Packers. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I did. I actually, believe it or not, I played tennis at a tennis clinic on Thursday, and Thursday night had a great dinner with the wife and our dog had a great meal. We put some stuff on social media. So I'm sure, I know you were definitely with your family for that. So what did you do on Thanksgiving?
Yeah. So for those who don't know, if you haven't seen some of my Instagram pictures, I'm down in Clearwater Beach for the week with the family on a little family vacation. We did this a couple of years ago. We went to Jamaica, Montego Bay for Thanksgiving week. And we're like, you know what? This whole getting away down south thing is pretty good. Not cooking food is pretty good. So we're here in lovely Clearwater Beach. The weather hasn't been great. It's been in the mid to upper 70s, been a little bit overcast, but we did spend Thursday. We did this cool like pirate ship two-hour tour where you get on what looks like a pirate ship and all the cast is, it's for the kids. You know, they're dressed up like pirates and they do treasure hunts and the adults just sit there and drink beers and wine and enjoy the being on the seas. So it's been nice. It's been good and relaxing. And then we had a really nice, the hotel here had a fantastic Thanksgiving feast. And man, you know, the funny thing is, I thought I wasn't going to eat. Usually when you go to like a feast like this, same thing when we were in Jamaica like 5 years ago, you wind up having only a little bit of turkey because it's Thanksgiving and then everything, like the seafood, all the other stuff is what you really look for. But the turkey was so good here that I actually wound up eating. It was so moist and tender, which is how it's hard to get good turkey. So
wow.
I'm stuffed, man. I'm stuffed. Yeah, who knew?
Maybe it's the water, Clearwater Beach.
Quite clear.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, exactly. So do you fly? I assume you flew into Tampa Airport.
Yeah, we flew into Tampa. I've been to Clearwater once in my life, and my wife and I only spent about a day here, a day and a half, and then we got out down to drove to West Palm where my mom lives. This is the first time I've spent extended time on this side of the state and been in the Gulf. You know, obviously the water here is the Gulf of Mexico, not the Atlantic. It's a lot saltier. It's usually warmer, but this week it's been very cold because the weather has been great. But it's just the sand, Adam, here is so white. It's beautiful. It really is gorgeous. So
the weather you're experiencing, I know because they might get rain there. I know. So for the game Sunday night, you know, I'm crazy with the weather.
Oh, yeah.
The early forecast as of Friday morning here, I always go hour by hour for everything I do in my life with weather. So it looks like it may just stop right before the game, so which would be great. I can't that Jacksonville game. Like I love snow. Like I'll take snow any day of the year. I love that. That Detroit game. Do you remember I'm sure you remember it. The craziness of that Lions.
Oh God, it was awesome. Yeah. I'm sorry. I missed this. Are they calling for snow?
No. It's going to rain all day. It's going to rain all day. Okay. Most of the day, right. But it looks like it'll stop between like 7 and 8:30 right now as we talk here Friday morning. But that snow game in 2013, I've never seen this in my life. Mm-hmm. Snow is not on the forecast at all. It came in in the press box. We're like, what the hell?
I remember.
I don't remember how cold it was. I can't remember if I was wearing a jacket or not. But the funniest thing was, I don't know if the Lions brought snow, like, you know, the heavy parkas. I don't know if they had them. All right. And obviously, Shady McCoy had a great game. That was so much fun. I love the snow. I don't know about you, but that was a fun game.
I do like watching games in the snow, and that was a special, special game in Eagles history just to watch that. It was really fun. I'm glad the snow is not on the radar, however, for this weekend. That's fine with me, but rain, sleet, hail, snow, no matter what, you and I and Greg Cosell and Jason Avant will be at Rivers Casino Sunday night, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. for Inside the Birds pregame live. It's going to be a great episode. We'll have a lot of breakdown that goes beyond even what we do in this podcast. And then, of course, the post-game show will have myself, Adam, and Trey Thomas, hopefully right around 11:30, hopefully if it's a regulation game. So we'll get to do it right as the game is over. And that'll wrap up another great week of football and Eagles football. Reminder everybody, if you're not a Patreon subscriber, we had one of our subscribers, Eddie Garcia, show up to our pregame show last week. He hung out with us at our watch party. Still plenty of content to check out on the platform, including our latest interview with Chicago Bears head coach Mark Trestman, who was very candid. A lot of people have talked about how amazing that interview was because he really opened up to us about his success, his failures, his theories and philosophies as a head coach. And they're all very unique. So check that out if you can. Become a subscriber by going to insidethebirds.com. I'm sorry, patreon.com /InsideTheBirds. That's patreon.com/InsideTheBirds. And we will be doing our monthly live stream, Ask IDB live stream, with our Patreon subscribers next week. So look forward to getting that done as well. And Adam, as always, does his weekly chat on Discord with our Patreon subscribers from 8 to 8:30 p.m. All right. Let's get to some pretty interesting news that's happened this week. Some injury related, some personnel and staff related. Adam, first one being that the it's funny because we were just talking about what the rules were about hiring certain people who get fired, right? Because Frank Reich, people were asking us, could the Eagles bring in Frank Reich since he's been fired by the Colts as some type of staff position? And we talked about how that happened with who the most recent one was Matt Patricia,
yes,
in New England after he got fired as Lions coach. And then lo and behold, here we go with the Eagles, but not Frank Reich.
No, this is correct. So actually on Thursday, of course, I know I wasn't going to get an email about, I wasn't going to get a response from our friends at the NFL office. I emailed them. So I saw my friend Tim McManus of ESPN.com put the story out that the Eagles were hiring Marcus Brady, the former offensive coordinator, though he didn't call the plays, Reich did. Reich fired him. It's just really a crazy story. So wait till you hear what he's going to be. This is not quite the role I was expecting, but it's fascinating. So Marcus Brady's coming in. They hired him this week. They interviewed him earlier this week. And Sirianni has a good relationship with Brady because they worked together when Brady was the quarterback coach. In fact, I've heard Marcus Brady, and I know he got canned by Reich, but he's been an up-and-comer. A lot of people thought he'd be an OC or maybe a head coach someday. So Reich fired him as his non-play calling OC. And then, strangely enough, Sirianni hires him. But here, according to McManus' story, here's what Brady's going to be doing. This is we'll explain it. This does go on around the league. So Brady is working primarily with defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon and his staff, offering perspective as an offensive coach on how he would attack the Eagles' defense. That's interesting. So teams have done this over there. It's not particularly as a consultant. So you'll hear like a guy come in, okay, he's going to be the defensive run game coordinator. Well, what he's doing is, okay, his job is to figure out what they're trying to do to them from a run game standpoint. Or sometimes like Raheem Morris went to the Falcons staff and it was like some sort of offensive assistant job.
I remember that. That's right.
Right. And then he wound up coaching the receivers.
Yes.
I can't remember the circumstances. I remember being so fascinated by why they were doing this. And they want to see his perspective as a defensive coach, but on offense. So this does happen, but the timing is fascinating. And so I just want to know if they've updated the rules, because I know some teams got sick and tired of teams doing this. Like Josh McDaniels, when he got fired, right. And then he went to, I think he actually went to the Rams, and then he went to back to the Patriots. And a bunch of teams do this over the years. But good for the Eagles to do this. I think this is fascinating. And Gannon obviously knows him because Gannon worked with him, sure. I believe, with the Colts. So he would probably know him. But I find this interesting. Why not? Why not try to figure out what an offensive coach sees? This is really smart.
Yeah, it's a whole lot better having someone like that being your consultant than, say, taking your offensive line coach and making him your defensive coordinator, which we've seen here in the city before, or in the case of maybe the Patriots, you know, taking your old defensive coordinator, he gets fired. Now you make him in charge of your offense, which is, I think, what Matt Patricia has been doing.
It's not good.
No, it's a good idea. And it's really fascinating that he's able to get that job, at this point in the season. And it'll be one of those things. You never really will know what kind of impact he's having because we're not going to hear from him. But I think
we'll check into it. We're definitely going to look into it, what impact it would always had for sure.
Absolutely. All right. A couple of transactions. Auden Tate getting the practice squad roster tango deal as he gets released for the second time in 2 weeks. It's funny because there was a time where the Eagles had like a billion wide receivers, right, on the practice squad. And now they think they only have two. They have Greg Ward and Devin Allen, if you consider him
a wide
receiver. Yeah, or really return. He's really a return specialist.
Right. But. In fact, yeah, for the life of me, I don't know what would be wrong. It's like if you're going to make this commitment to the kid, why don't you bring him up? The return game, I know Covey's been a little bit better in punt return, but why not give him a shot as a kickoff returner? I mean, Boston Scott did it. I mean, what's the harm? Come on. What's the harm?
It doesn't move me, but okay.
But that's my point, though. It may not move you, but what's the worst that could happen? He can't be any worse than their kickoff return game. Come on.
I suppose not.
You suppose not? It's terrible.
I mean, I can't get past like the whole, like, he hasn't played football in a really long time. We're probably not thinking about the potential downsides to it. Maybe he's ball security. Maybe it's vision. But you're right. It's not like it's an area that can't be upgraded even like a moderate amount of more of kick return. I get you.
He's explosive in a straight line. But anyway.
Yeah. And now offensive tackle, Jared Williams also got released from the practice squad IR. So I guess he was on the practice squad. He went on the practice squad IR. Now he's released from the IR, right? He doesn't go back to the practice squad.
No, he's from the practice squad IR, the rare practice squad IR. People used to make fun of this. It's like, well, the guy's on the practice squad. How could he possibly get hurt? Well, you know, there are drills. He could get hurt.
So Maiolata, Maddox, Jared Williams, and who else got hurt in practice? Andre Dillard.
He broke his arm in practice. Got a concussion also. Yeah, and he got hurt. Yeah.
For a team that's not known for practicing very hard and having all these rest days and maintenance days built in, they sure get hurt a lot in practice.
But the surprising transaction, came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I forgot, because I know he was with Seattle and Atlanta. Anthony Rush is back.
Wasn't he with the Raiders at one point, too? I thought that was.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, that's actually how they got him, if you recall.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you're right. He was with the Raiders. But, in fact, he had an unbelievable preseason with the Raiders, maybe in 2019, maybe. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's back on the practice squad. Now they have two D tackles in the practice squad. He was last with the Eagles in September of 2020, Peterson's last year. So, yeah, how about that? He's back.
Crazy. All right. Well, he's a big dude. He was like 340, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Big dude. And long arms, big dude. He's always struggled with his weight, we were told. So that they just got concerned about it. He's aware of it. I remember that, checking in at the time when we were working on his background. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, you've got now this kid, and you've got Marvin Wilson. I know Cosell. Greg told us he was kind of miffed at why they didn't bring him back up. He liked their tape a little bit better than they did, and that's why he's not back up on the active.
There you go. All right. So that gives the Eagles a lot of beef here between their 53-man and their practice squad now with, you know, Jordan Davis, who we'll see what happens with him when he's ready to come back, and Linval Joseph, and, of course, now Marvin Williams and Anthony Rush, Wilson and Anthony Rush. Let's talk about some injuries here. The Packers have quite a few, some more severe than others. Obviously, the big one is Aaron Rodgers and the right thumb fracture that he's got. Now, he's been playing through that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Right? Yeah, correct. 100%. In fact, he was on the Pat McAfee show. I really enjoyed listening to him on that show. Mm-hmm. So he more or less confirmed it, because McAfee asked him if it was broken. And he said, oh, I've had worse injuries before. I've had it broken before. Mm-hmm. He did not throw the – I don't know if you saw the Titans game. He did not throw it well. Mm. One of the many reasons why the Titans won that game rather handily in Lambeau is he just didn't throw it well. He didn't have, and he won't have this week, Romeo Doubs with his high ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. The big injuries are on defense, though. Javondre Campbell's going to miss his fourth straight game. That's one of the reasons when we get into the matchups, you could run against them. Mm-hmm. He has revived his career since he was in Atlanta. He's a terrific football player. He's got a knee injury. This will be four straight. And they lost Rashawn Gary 2 weeks ago to a torn ACL. He's their best pass rusher, arguably.
Yep,
definitely. And Eric Stokes, one of their starting corners, he's out for the season with knee ankle injuries. So we're getting into the matchups. I talked to Cosell on Wednesday, and Greg gave me some good background on what they've done to move the personnel around. An old friend, Russell Douglas, is playing into it. We'll get into him and into the matchups. It's one of the most remarkable stories, and I don't know if you remember this. He actually got the rare RFA tender reduction. They actually, when the Eagles tendered him as a restricted free agent, mm-hmm. they reduced the tender, which like never happens. It rarely happens.
Right.
And that's how bad he was. And he sucked here. I mean, what could I tell you? He was bad there. And was just unbelievable. And they love him in Green Bay. Like, I don't know how this happens. I just don't know.
He's had some pretty big game-changing plays for them, or momentum-swiping plays for them. So I can imagine why they would like him. Yep. Context is everything. He probably fits their defense a little bit better than
their zone right here. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. All right, Eagles' injuries are a little cause for concern, not nearly as bad as Green Bay's, only because Devontae Smith popped up on Thursday on the injury list with a knee. Now, we thought he hurt his knee in the game, in the past game against, who was it now?
Washington. He did.
In the Washington game, right.
Yes, he did.
Right, Right. But then he was off, right? Wasn't he off of it by the final injury report last week?
So what happened was, yeah, he technically he's still on it, but they didn't give him a game status designation, like, you know, questionable, doubtful, or out. So what happened? So on Wednesday, because only had a walkthrough, he wasn't on it. Mm-hmm. After Thursday's practice, he was limited with a knee injury. I assume it's the same knee.
Yeah.
Then AJ Brown didn't work on Thursday due to an illness, but he's expected to play. And then Josh Jobe cannot get rid of this hamstring injury. Yeah. Not that he'd ever play on defense, but he does play on specials. He's still dealing with it, but that's it. You know, that's it. We'll keep an eye on the Devontae Smith stuff. What happens later today? Right. They do play Sunday night, so they have to. This will be the last injury report later today. They have the short practice, but the big ones are the Packers, and they're going to apply when we go over the matchups in a minute here. They absolutely apply, and the Eagles have to take advantage, just like the Packers did. The Packers actually got pass happy, shockingly, against the Titans got pass happy against the Packers last week, which is surprising.
There you go. All right. As for Jordan Davis, by the way, this will be the fourth game that he misses. So I believe by Monday, they'll have the ability to, or by Wednesday, is it? They'll have the ability to activate him into the 21-day window. Tuesday.
Well, they technically could do it Monday, but they're not. Are they playing? Well, okay. Some teams, you technically can do it. It'll be the new week starts on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. They could designate him then. It doesn't really matter because if they designate him to return, that means he's going to practice on Wednesday.
Right.
And they would have till Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern to activate him for the Titans game on that Sunday. But I'm so fascinated. You know, we did it. We appreciate the – if you haven't listened to it, we love breaking down the – from our sources the, what the tape looked like on Wednesday. Very high-traffic show. And and look, you all watched it. Linval Joseph was a factor, absolutely a factor. If they get Davis back for this Titans game, I cannot wait to see what the Titans do. Do they throw the ball more? They don't want to, but will they be more aggressive now? We'll see, but that's the Titans game, and the Packers are first up.
Definitely. And by the way, this will be game three of four for Avante Maddox, who was on injured reserve. So he's got one more before he can potentially get activated into the 21-day window. Yeah, they do. All right. And, of course, Dallas Goedert, we know, will be out. This will be game number two for him on injured reserve. So still two more left for him. And boy, do they need him back as well, which segues pretty well into our, you know, matchups here. We'll start with the Eagles offense against the Packers defense. Before we get into that, we'll remind you to check out our friends at PHL Sports Nation. They're enhancing the fans' experience with their coverage of all Philadelphia sports teams for the fan, by the fan. That's their motto. So make sure you check them out at phlsportsnation.com and on Twitter at PHL Sports Nation. We'll pause real quick to hear another word from our other great friends, including our friends at Sky Motor Cars.
Sky Motor Cars in Westchester is a different sort of dealership. All it takes is one look at their Highline pre-owned vehicles that people all over the country want and need. Owner Brett Schuller, make sure you don't spend a dime of your money before you purchase the car. Sky Motor Cars allows you to make all the decisions regarding your next vehicle. At Sky Motor Cars, you never have to spend more than necessary. Visit skymotorcars.com today or call 610-918-7225.
And if you happen to stop into Sky Motor Cars in Westchester, PA, make sure you tell them Adam just sent you. You'll get a great deal. If you don't make it in, visit them at skymotorcars.com. All right, the Eagles offense versus this Packers defense. Now, we just told you. I mean, this is not the Packers. First of all, it's been an underperforming Packers defense for most of the year. No doubt some of that due to their offensive inefficiencies. But when you take out Devondre Campbell, when you take out Rashawn Gary, when you take out Eric Stokes, I mean, that's just adding and compounding their issue. So they'll have to figure out a way to try to stop Jalen Hurts in the offense, which in itself, Adam has to figure out a way to move the ball with more efficiency and more fluidity without Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, no doubt. The last two games, it just has not been good enough. They're just not as explosive as you'd like. It's interesting because they're not throwing the ball as much. The Hurts' pass attempts are down. In fact, the last five games, he's not put it up over 28 times. Some of it's been bulk. They've been ball controlled a little bit by the other team, which is something like they had not had happened earlier this season. They just have not functioned as well in offense. And obviously without Goedert, they're going to have to figure out another way. The one thing you can do, and we'll start with Eagles offense, there's only one thing teams seem to be able to do fairly well, is run against the Packers. With Campbell out with his knee injury, they play a 34 front, by the way, under Joe Barry, who's been around Wade Phillips, and he's been with Washington and the Rams, and they're a little bit of a finesse defense. They get knocked for that. They're incredibly talented, but they don't always play up to the level of the talent, and that's the knock around the league on their defense. But Kenny Clark is a terrific nose tackle, athletic nose tackle. Jaron Reed is one of their down linemen who's always been a pass rushing D tackle wherever he's been. Preston Smith, you might remember him from Washington. So they've got some guys who can rush the passer. They have a decent front, but they're not a stout, like, run-stopping front. So you can run on them, and I'll be interested to see what the Eagles do with – we know RPOs will be part of it, but the thing we talked about in our Wednesday show, I would like to see them do more pre-snap motion. They need to bring that back. Mm-hmm. To me, it's the missing link for this offense right now. Find a different way. Find another way to get moving, because their offense simply was not good enough last week against the Colts. I know they've got a good front, the Colts, but that's no excuse.
Yeah.
And they really got to get back to the drawing board. Look, they don't have Goddard. They can't. There's nothing they can do about that. That's in the past. You got to deal with who you have, and they got to do a better job with his personnel.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. By the way, I want to bring to light something really interesting that Packers coach Matt LaFleur said about Jalen Hurts. And it's something we've talked about, but not directly enough. One of the flaws of Jalen Hurts' game going back to last year, and Trey Thomas really did an excellent job of bringing this to light, was what we would say is Jalen Hurts would bail the pocket quite early. And Trey Thomas brought to light to us that not only did he bail the pocket when the defense was sort of getting within reach of him, but even when, say, his own running back would cross in front of his face to pick up a blitz, just that presence of color would force Jalen to get a little itchy and get out of the pocket. He's been much better at that this year. I mean, we have talked a lot about Jalen being more patient, going through progressions. He's done an excellent job of that. And Matt LaFleur pointed out specifically, he used the word seeing color, that he is not a guy who starts to see color and run, whether it's defensive color or anything, so that he's been more patient and more poised in the pocket.
100%. So, yep.
Yeah, and that's a big credit to the game. But nothing changed from the way Eagles do protection schemes. They still have their you'll see plenty of times where the running back crosses in front of Jalen Hurst's face to pick up an oncoming blitzer, maybe from the other side, whether it's the strong side of the weak side, or usually the weak side and the backside. And Jalen Hurts has still been able to keep his composure. So that's a good thing. And if Matt LaFleur is correct about that, which he is, then that's not great for Matt LaFleur's defense and secondary. Mm-hmm. But I agree that there's still got to be a better rhythm and flow to what they're doing. I just wonder if there's, coming off that last game against the Colts, where Jack Stoll obviously played the most amount of reps at tight end in Dallas Goedert's place, if there's not room to get Jack Stoll more production, more, you know, make him the tight end screen work well for Goddard. I know Stoll isn't the same kind of athlete, but could you maybe get him involved the same way just to keep the defense honest? It's, you know, continue to run your offense through the tight end, which doesn't mean the ball has to go to him all the time, but you might run a screen around him. You might just kind of feature him a little bit more than one catch for 7 yards from the last game.
Yeah. In fact, Mark Trestman said this to us when we did our show with him. He had mentioned how he when he watched the Eagles tape, that they really didn't get the backs of the ball very much. Because Mark mostly coached the West Coast offense. He coached Charlie Garner. And he went through, Adrian Morrell and one of my favorite running backs of all time, Matt Forte, who was terrific.
Tulane. He was great.
Yeah, he did great under Mark. And so he pointed that out. And he asked, he goes, he did not watch all of their tape this year, but he watched enough to get a feel. I go, no, coach, they simply don't get the backs of the ball in the pass game. I don't know why. I know that Hurts is not quite like Wentz like this, but Hurts wants to throw the football, which you love. Mm-hmm. But it's not about the checkdowns. You have to design this stuff for him, and they're not. And by the way, Boston Scott could catch the football. We've seen this. We know Gainwell did great in college with it. His hands are pretty questionable. We know that in 2019, Sanders was great. What did he have, around 50 catches, something like that?
Yeah, he had a lot of catches first year, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. That you got to alleviate this Goddard issue. You can't duplicate his size and his ability, but you got to find different ways to get your playmakers to football.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I know you've brought up the idea of trying to see if you can get the ball to Calcaterra more, especially against certain zones where he can kind of run the crossers or sit down and give you that explosive element. The Green Bay defense, Adam, it's hard to figure out. You're right. The teams can run against them. They are low on the low end of rushing yards. But as a team, They're 14th in total yards allowed. So they're a very middle of the pack there. But there are some things that they do well. They're eighth, you know, top 10 in third down defense, which is pretty good. And 13th in red zone, which isn't great, but not terrible either. Yep. For all the talk of Green Bay just being there, and their record's awful, you would think that they'd be terrible in certain spots. They're not. They're just mediocre or just okay. But it sticks out to me that they've got a pretty good third down defense. Now, I don't know if it was higher, and then ever since they lost Rashawn Gary, if it's gotten worse. But, again, you know, they were doing something right situationally.
Tony Pollard got them for over 100 yards. He did very well. Mm-hmm. Jamal Williams did okay against them. Right. But Pollard had some big runs against them.
Yeah, he did.
But again, I know, as you mentioned, you know, they got all these guys out. But for whatever reason, they have not been the dominant defense that people were expecting. But there is talent there. Now, on the back end, so here's what Cosell said. So what happens is now with Stokes out for the season, old friend Rudy Ford, who was one of the fastest special teams players in the league for a while, he signed a big free agent deal. The Eagles weren't going to pay him. Went Houston, I think it was Houston or Jacksonville, paid him. But what happened is that now what they're doing, so Rasul Douglas, believe it or not, was their slot corner, which I find hard to believe, but because he's long. 6 feet, but he was their slot. Now he's playing on the outside. And what they're doing is they're taking Rudy Ford. So what happens is Darnell Savage is now their nickel corner.
Okay.
He's a safety. And Rudy Ford is playing safety for Savage in nickel. So to me, you gotta go after this matchup. Rudy Ford, you have to target. Savage is not super comfortable. They had some issues last week in coverage against the Titans of all teams. That probably was they did a good job against Henry, but it was very surprising that the Titans were so aggressive throwing the football. They're just, if you've watched them at all, they're just not like that. And Romeo Doubs got them repeatedly. In fact, Robert Woods got them for a 32-yard pass. Burks got them on the 51-yarder late in the game. I don't know why they threw it when they're up by 10 with 2 minutes left, but. So there are some plays to be had in the passing game against the Packers defense.
Yeah, and by the way, we should talk about this. Jair Alexander, I watched a Green Bay game earlier this year and noticed that he stuck to the number one receiver in that game. I don't know that if they do that every time they play a game or just against certain wide receivers.
We'll ask Greg, but I think they play sides.
Okay, well, which usually means you just stay on your side. But there was a game where he trailed. So it might have been – it might have been against Justin Jefferson. That was the first game of the year, wasn't it? Vikings Packers.
Oh yeah, in fact, that's when Christian Watson dropped the 75-yarder.
Right. So we'll have to see. We'll find out a little bit more on that. But I have a feeling AJ Brown's going to have a big game against this Packers secondary. We'll see. As long as they get the protection.
I wonder. And we'll ask Avant this when you because he said Andy didn't. I asked him this question. You might remember like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I asked him this because I just distinctly remember they didn't always do well sometimes when the advantages were strong. He did say that Andy didn't always go after, like it may show on tape that, okay, this guy's struggling, but he didn't always do it.
Right.
But the 17 team, those coaches and DeFilippo talked about it. They put a bullseye on anyone who was struggling in the corner. Mm-hmm. The game, whoever Keith Tlaib was with then, it was either Chicago or Denver. I think it was Denver. They went after him repeatedly. And they got to do this game. Yeah, Rudy Ford's out there. He doesn't, you know, his guy has barely played safety. He's always been a special teamer. Now he's out there playing a lot. You know what? Go after this guy. Savage, if he's not comfortable playing Nick inside, you know what? Go after him. I know he's a safety. So I'll be interested to see what they do here.
Yeah, definitely. Still thinking, you know, we keep waiting for that Devontae Smith like breakout since like he had against Washington. It just hasn't happened. Yeah. He's had some good games, but I do sort of think this will be an A.J. Brown-style game, unless, of course, Jair is matched up. Jair is a good corner. I mean, A.J. Brown's a great receiver, too. So that'll be fun. Actually, I think as a viewer, it'll be pretty fun if we see Alexander versus Brown for the entire night. As far as the offensive line, again, without Rashawn Gary, it's one less pass rusher. It's still a good front. They're a strong, aggressive, stout front that Green Bay always seems to have. You know who must be playing well, Adam? Because we have not mentioned his name probably in, like, 8 weeks, but have we talked at all about Isaac Seumalo?
He's been okay. Seumalo, I actually have asked. He's done well. Mylata's had a couple snaps per game where you go, okay, what happened there? He hasn't been bad. He's had one game. He might have had four bad snaps. One game he might have had two. okay, he's young, he's still developing, he's still new to the game, we forget. Mm-hmm. So, no, Sayle Amalo has been fine. He's been solid. He's been healthy. Remember when he turned his foot and we go, oh, boy, this looks bad. Yes. It yes. didn't that I remember seeing it in the game, like, oh, boy, that did not look good. And he wound up being fine. So we know with him, it's never been about talent. Once he got himself together in 2018, was it? 2018, I think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of not looked back.
Yes, 2018, you're right.
He had a self-confidence issue before that, we're told, and then he got himself together. He just had a lot of injuries, but he's on a contract year, and we'll see how he does. But to me, there are plays to be had in this game, and I would also. What do you think? To me, wouldn't you go a lot of 11 personnel in this game? And the Eagles did it last week, by the way, which is why
I would. If I feel confident I can block them up, I would definitely go a lot of 11 personnel. Absolutely. Yeah,
to me, that's got to happen.
All right, let us talk about this Eagles defense against this Packers offense. I mean, the first and. The thing that really sticks out about the Green Bay offense, which has not been very good this year, it's been okay. It just hasn't been great. The first thing that sticks out, other than the fact that Aaron Rodgers isn't having an MVP year, is that over the past 2 weeks, their rookie Christian Watson has really come on. I mean, he's five touchdown catches in the last 2 weeks after doing virtually nothing for the first 8 or 9 weeks. Greg Cosell, Cosell told us about this. He said his big concern about Watson was not his athleticism, not his speed, not his route run. It was just, can he catch the ball consistently? Because he was not. He even went into great detail, and this is back in March when he was doing the pre-draft stuff with us, that he just is either a double catcher or his hands aren't natural catch hands, and that seemed to be an issue from day one, where, as you mentioned, he dropped the 75-yard.
Right in his hands.
Right in his hands. I mean, right in his hands. Oh. And then he went a couple of games there without getting a whole lot of snaps. It's almost like I was wondering if he was even going to have a rookie year by week three or four. And
he was hurt, actually. He had a significant hamstring issue.
That's right.
Which kind of limited him training camp in their offseason. Mm-hmm. He has what they're called awkward hands. He's not a natural hands catcher. And, he went – here's what happened. First of all, he's a really high-character kid. Mm-hmm. He had an incredible Senior Bowl week. He put together what I called a Matt Jones Senior Bowl. Remember Matt Jones, the first-round pick of the Jaguars? Who never should have been a first-round pick. Yep. But Jack DeRio and their group, they were enamored with him because he ran by everybody. He was 6'5", and he could run. But Christian Watson ran away. Here's the thing. They don't play man coverage. And there's no blitzing or man coverage in the Senior Bowl. There's only zone. So he just ran away from everybody. He got himself on the map, though he's kind of raw. But yeah, five touchdowns in 4 days because they played four games in less than a week. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see. Now, Alan Lazard's a good player. He's physical. Funny story about Lazard: the Eagles actually tried to sign him off of Jacksonville's practice squad as a tight end, and he said no, he didn't want to play tight end. Mm-hmm. And now he's a good player, but he's been hurt a lot. He's had a shoulder problem. He'll play with it. And Randall Cobb came back last week and it played really well. He and Rodgers are best friends. Rodgers is like the godfather of his son, so they're super close. And he had a good game. He's a good slot corner, and this is where the Packers can make their money against Josiah Scott. He's not played at a high enough level. He's just not totally comfortable. Maybe he'll be more comfortable the more he plays.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a matchup that might concern some people there with Josiah Scott, because Scott's been a little in the slot. I want to talk about the run game for Green Bay. That's their bread and butter. They obviously get a lot out of Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. And this Eagles run defense looked a lot better last week than the week before.
Okay.
But now they're on tape with what they've got with their new personnel. This is, to me, like the biggest question of the game is, can the Eagles once again be really stout against a pretty good rushing attack? And I think this might even be a more diversified rushing attack than what the Colts do with Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, yeah, although I don't think Dillon scored since week one. He has not had quite the season they were expecting. But, look, it's power and speed, and Jones is incredible out of the backfield. Teams have not really crushed the Eagles out of the backfield, surprisingly. I think the big thing is what you put on our show 2 years ago. T.J. Edwards has become so much more comfortable in the pass game. That's why he's playing on all three downs, really. I mean, he's not a two-down linebacker. He's not. I mean, it's surprising, but he's been great. I'll be interested to see what they do, because that's one playmaker, man. That's the thing. They have the ability to get some playmakers going here. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yep, no doubt about it. How come Robert Tonyan is just – I know he's coming off the ACL injury, but I thought by now he'd be a bigger part of their offense. I mean, he had such a great rapport with Aaron Rodgers prior to that injury. And it's really – I don't know. I mean, we're seeing with Michael Gallup too. Sometimes guys are slower than others. I mean, Godwin with his ACL. But there have been guys come back from ACL and it's almost like didn't skip a beat. So it's just – I guess everybody's different in that regard.
Yeah, their timing's been off. I'm shocked because, as you said – John Hanson, my friend from fantasyboys.com, says, since Tonyan corrected his name, everyone was calling Bobby Tonyan.
Right.
And no, Tonyan. It's Tonyan is the real pronunciation. Everyone was calling him Tonyan. He said he's sucked since then. So funny. But it is true, though. Like, his numbers have steadily gone down, unfortunately, the ACL. But, yeah, they have some offensive talent. There's no doubt. Now, both tackles, okay, have had ACL injuries. Bakhtiari's been dealing with this issue for 2 years now. Jenkins, the right tackle, who could play guard if you need him to. He had the ACL last year. John Runyon Jr., by the way, is starting at guard. Mm-hmm. So they've – Rodgers is 4-1 lifetime against the Eagles. The thing that's beaten him all – they've always beaten him, the Green Bay has, because of the quick release. So that's what I find fascinating. They have not faced a quarterback like this. I know he's been struggling, but he's Aaron Rodgers, and he could throw the ball quickly. I'll be interested to see what the approach is here to kind of try to slow him down.
Definitely. Well, by the way, what's more fascinating, that Aaron Rodgers is not anywhere near the MVP discussion, or that Mercedes Lewis is still playing in the NFL and playing, like, not just, you know, one
snap.
Walking
tight end. Yeah. I mean, I remember him from the Senior Bowl of 2006.
Oh my God.
38 years old. In fact, he was a super athletic tight end come out of UCLA, tall guy. And he became, as we've seen with Daniel Graham, for you old-timers out there, you might remember him from University of Colorado, a first-round pick of the Patriots, maybe. Mm-hmm. He was a really good college tight end. He became a blocking tight end. And you know what? If you could be a wide tight end, which means in line, teams will tell you it's next to impossible to find guys like this. Mm-hmm. That's why he's still playing. And 06.
Crazy. Well, good for him. I like to see guys play 15, 16 years. Story. Awesome. Last thing on the Packers. Let's talk about their offensive line. It's pretty good on the left side with David Bakhtiari at left tackle, left guard Elgton Jenkins, who has played, I think, every single –
He's right tackle now.
He's right tackle now. He was
left guard. He's healthy. Yeah. Well, yeah, when I say healthy –
he's the Jose Okendo of the offensive line.
Oh, my gosh. Oh gosh. Wait, wasn't he a shortstop for the Mets?
He played every single – no, Jose. You're thinking of Jose Reyes or – No, Jose Okendo played for the Cardinals, and he played all eight positions, and then one day they were getting battered up by someone, so he came in and pitched. Okay. Yeah, he had already been a catcher.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So he came in and pitched, and that was it. He had played every single position.
No, what I was saying a minute ago is, again, Bakhtiari and Jenkins had the ACL, so they're – John Runyon Jr. is the guard, right guard. Josh Myers is the center, is a decent player. Mm-hmm. And that's – They're getting away with it. I mean, it's not great. They've missed time. Bakhtiari's missed time this season. Not quite right.
Right.
I will be, because as I said a minute ago, with Rodgers and his quick release, you could help a line. This is what Peyton Manning did. They're other than Jeff Saturday, they never had a lot of talent. He just made them better than they were. Rodgers, when he's playing great, makes their line better than they are because he gets rid of it so quickly. So to finish this off, I'll be interested to see what the thought process here is look, he's seen everything in his career, and he knows this defense very well, the Fangio defense, so it's not like it'd be a surprise to him, and the tape shows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But other than a couple plays, they had some issues against Washington, not a little bit against the Colts and weak-armed Matt Ryan, but, you know, overall the secondary has been so tremendous. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see what they do. Will they blitz them? Like, what's the game plan? And we'll see.
Yes. The one thing I think that the Eagles can take a break from is, and I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, the last two teams they played, both the Colts and Washington, put their best receivers in the slot a few times to get a mismatch there, whether it was Terry McLaurin or whether it was Michael Pittman. I don't think you'll see that from Christian Watson. We'll see. Maybe they'll borrow some concepts. I think they're just still trying to get Christian comfortable with being an outside receiver. Their slot receiver is a veteran. It's Randall Cobb, but he's not on the McLaurin pass. He's going to catch like a 5 or 6 yard pass. So
no, he's not worried about him. Very right. But he'll move the chains on third down. Lazard, he's not fast, but you could throw shot plays to him. But folks, watch Rodgers on Sunday night. Watch his right thumb. He did not throw we knew about the thumb injury, but we didn't know it was fractured. This gives context to how poorly he threw the football. Heck, hit it. You know, if I'm the Eagles, they know his right thumb is bad. Hit him.
Hit him early, hit him often. Okay, time to make our predictions. I have sort of a boldish prediction about what I think people are going to get annoyed by. I will start with you, though. How do you see this game unfolding? And, I should, do what we always do, which is give the line and the spread. What is let me check that out. Here in Florida, it's hard to access all the
either 6.5 or 7, depending where you're looking.
6.5? Okay.
Yeah.
But let me see. This is the Sunday night game. 6.5 sounds about fair for the Eagles against this team, I would think, being at home. Yeah, it's still 6.5 with a total of 46.5.
I would like – yeah. All right. I'll go Packers 17, Eagles 23-17.
Okay, you love to do that. You love to give that Packers.
People do that on our YouTube comments. They love doing that because they picked up. But one of these days, it actually will be that I'll actually pick the opponent. Maybe they're. I look at their schedule. Actually, technically, Dallas still has to play Washington, so they have a little bit harder schedule. It's obviously almost mirrors the Eagles,
right?
But I'm curious to see if I don't know. Do you think the Eagles will be a favorite or a dog at Dallas?
I think it depends on what happens between now and that game, but the way things are trending, probably a favorite, unless it looks like the Eagles aren't going to play any of their players.
Oh, so, right, with the circumstances. Yep, it's true.
Yeah. All right, so here's my sort of prediction, what I see. I think Eagles fans are going to be really upset with Jonathan Gannon for this game.
Uh-oh.
Because Watson has the kind of speed, and Lazard has that, as you mentioned. It's not speed. He's a tall, big – he makes plays downfield.
Yeah.
And we know that this defensive coordinator does everything he possibly can to get beat to prevent getting beat over the top. So I think you're going to see a lot of soft coverage. I think even when they play one safety deep, it's going to be really deep. And I think there's going to be a lot of yards to be gained on the Eagles in that intermediary level that's going to make people mad.
You know why? Because now that you've got Joseph and Sue and the two vets.
Yeah, he'll go back to quarters.
Yeah, because here's what happened. If you play single high, this is what Rodgers was talking about with Pat McAfee, is like if you play too deep, and he's a lot of the Fangio defense. Or if you play single high and you have that safety in the box, then you'll throw on it. But if you have the two deep safeties, you run on it, and that's probably because this was the defense last year. They're not throwing over our heads. We'll let them run all day. Okay, no, what they were doing is they were throwing in front of you, not over your heads, and you were getting a high percentage. Look, with Joseph, they're probably. You might want to invite the run a little bit. Sure. If I'm Gannon, sure, please run. Please come out running. Sure. If I'm the Eagles, I would love them to do that, and I'll take my chances because after that terrible first series, 7-49 for Jonathan Taylor, boy, did they really do a great job. They gave him they really did well after that. So you wonder if there'll be more carryover. We will find out.
Well, I say Packers 26, Eagles 20.
Whoa!
I do.
Wow. Why do you think the Packers will beat them?
I just think the Eagles are really struggling to figure things out. I know it's just one game without Dallas Goedert, and I think I still get scared of Aaron Rodgers Sunday night. I think, they have two good running backs. They have a good running game. It's one of their best things. I still think you can run against the Eagles. One game doesn't prove that you can't. And again, those two guys, I think, are going to put the fear of God in Jonathan Gannon. He's going to play a lot of soft coverage, and they're going to exploit it. It's really that I think the Eagles' offense, though, is not going to be as prolific as it's been.
Oh, there's no doubt. Although there's some matchups that could favor them. Well, I'm just fascinated before we get out of here to see if the offensive coaches could find something to get the thing going, just to get their offense going, because they're not a hard watch. Like they. Throughout the game against the Colts, they had some good plays, but overall, they're just not nearly as consistent as they were when they were rolling.
Right.
So we will see if they can get it going.
We shall. We'll see if I change my mind between now and the
– Oh, you can't. Nope,
no,
you can't.
I'm not going. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. All right. Again, hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We will be back to preview the game 5 p.m. on Sunday night. Myself, Adam, Jason Avant, Greg Cosell on the Inside the Birds YouTube platform and our other social media platforms. Want to thank everybody for tuning in because, as always, we thank you for flying with us inside the birds.